531.
Alan Latu is an Australian-born Tongan who earlier this month posted about his experience of prejudice, racism and discrimination growing up in Melbourne, Australia, on Facebook. To date, the post has had over 150,000 views. Alan is one of four siblings whose parents migrated from Tonga in 1960 to study theology, thanks to a Palangi man by the name of Jeff Cummings. Amongst other work, in 2008, Alan established the Pacific Cup Festival, a celebration of Pacific Island culture. The event holds a one-day Pacific Cup rugby tournament of teams with Melbourne-based players representing Australia, Cook Islands, Fiji, New Zealand, Samoa and Tonga. Alan is currently a senior emergency management consultant with Capacity Building Emergency Management in Melbourne. A very warm welcome, Malolele, and thank you so much for your time this morning, Alan.
G'day, how are you?
Very good, thank
G'day
you.
G'day from sunny Australia at 6:30 in the morning here.
Yes, and you look very nice and sprightly for this time of the morning, so that's good. Thank you.
So happy to be up at 6:30 in the morning.
Now, Alan, let's get straight into it. The post.
Yeah.
What prompted it?
I guess, you know, with all the things happening around the world, you know, there was a lot of movements happening. The reason why I put it up was because I was hearing people saying that prejudice doesn't exist. It doesn't exist where I am and around me. So I just wanted to share an insight of what I had been going through growing up and what has happened to me recently. For me, it wasn't something that I was aware of because, you grow up with it, so you're not aware that it's not the norm. It was only really when I met my wife, who is a Palangi, and she started to state that, you know, the way that you get treated is a little bit different from the way that I get treated. So the other reason why I posted was because there was so much anger and hatred around how the message is being delivered. So I really wanted to do something that was just really straight tone, just sharing the experience of how I've been treated growing up. And please, I've had an awesome upbringing. I love Australia. I love Melbourne. I love being an Aussie. I love all of that. I just wanted to show that there's another side to a story. There's another side to everybody's story. And that everybody actually has prejudice against them, not just the color of your skin, but because of your sexuality, because of your gender, because of all different things. I just wanted to show that there is prejudice out there. And part of that is how do you educate people that it exists and that there is actually a human on the other end of the words that you're saying out there. So,
Of all the things you just mentioned you didn't mention Australian rugby. So at the moment. No?
Is this a rugby interview or is that...
Stop it.
In the 90s, I loved Australian rugby in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yes, yes.
But then my internet stopped, so I don't know the order of rugby these days.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then that's the last rugby question. Okay. In terms of your upbringing, of course, in Melbourne, tell us a little bit about, the nationalities and faiths because, reading in the original description of the post, oh, my goodness, you had a real fruit salad collection of different ethnicities there in faiths.
And that's what Melbourne is. Melbourne is a really, this really mix of different cultures and all the rest. It was funny, when my parents migrated, so my dad's name is Samisi, but when he migrated here, he wanted to be known in his Palangi name as James, but then he wanted to be Aussianized, so he wanted to be known as Jim. So you've got this big Tongan man that's in Melbourne that wants to be known as Jim, and that's the way he wanted to be, I guess. He wanted to be known. He wanted to be known as an Australian, in that space. So growing up, the first couple of schools I went to, there were the Greeks, the Italians, because they were all had migrated earlier before the 60s. But then, I grew up with all different types of nationalities, all different types of religions as well. It's a real mix, and you can tell that with the Melbourne food. Melbourne's food, you've got all different types of food, so it's great. It's great. Really love it.
You would think, though, after watching your post, that there would be, with such diversity, more acceptance. But just with the number of incidents that you've mentioned and the number that you said during your post, that you haven't mentioned, that it would be, more accepting.
It's funny you say that. And the ones I hadn't mentioned, and I have a laugh with this with a few other people, because I came from the security industry. So for 20-odd years, 15 of those 20 odd years, I worked front doors of nightclubs, not to be a stereotypical. So you can imagine the sort of language that was used in that space and also on and off the rugby field. But I guess it's, you know, prejudice isn't just a locally based issue, it's global. You know, it's all around the world. I think part of that too is people having this need to be heard and need to say their piece or need to be able to say, this is what I truly believe in, which is fine. I love that. I love that. Let's just not do it from behind the keyboards. You know, if you really feel about something, learn about something first. You know, let's get out there. And I think we've lost that contact of, as you said, Talanoa. I think we've lost that contact to be able to sit, have a conversation with each other face to face and truly get to understand each other. We do a lot of it now in capital letters and things like that and emojis and all that, which is, that's the way that we communicate. But how do we get that across in a better format, especially for our kids? And if we're going through that now, the biggest eye-opener for me is I've got a 4 and 2-year-old, you know, two beautiful girls. I want them to learn how to talk to people. I want to learn them to learn how to say hello and have a conversation and truly understand what another person's thinking and feeling.
You know, talking about that, of all the incidents you shared, you know, for me as a dad, a grandfather, the one about your daughter at the fair with the balloon artist was the most heartbreaking. How, Alan, when you go through incidents like this again and again, compose yourself, not react when every fibre of your being wants to just, you know, to lash out. And, well, being a former bouncer, having different ways of maybe laying hands biblically on people.
Touching them, you mean, you know, and not just their soul. I think part of that too is you know, it's not something that I just learned. You know, I've learned this from a child. So thank you to my parents, my grandparents, my uncles, my aunties, who helped me shape that response, that way to respond. I guess it's the old saying of, you know, fight with your mouth and not with your fists. You know, how do you do that? For me, if I am to fight, especially now in front of my girls, you know, as I said in my video, if I fought everybody who had prejudice against me, I'd be fighting since I was 5 years old. I'm 43 now, and I know I look 16, but I'm 43 now. But it means for 38 years, I would have been physically fighting everybody without actually using my words to make a statement or to tell a story. You know, people have said to me, I want to know this balloon artist's name. I want to know the fair that it was at. It's not the fair, fault of the fair. So that's the reason why I don't mention it. The balloon artist, he is what he is. I don't know him. So I'd love to sit down with him, have a conversation with him, you know. But his story and the way he treated my daughter has actually gone far and wide now, you know. So he's helped this story get across as well and this message get across too. So same thing, it's about just being peaceful and, you know, the first reaction that I don't want to go to is anger, because if you go straight to anger, you've got nowhere else to go from, you know, from where you are. And that's part of the emergency management piece that I sort of teach is conflict management. So if you go straight to anger, where else have you got to go?
You're married to your beautiful wife, Kylie, and as you mentioned, two beautiful daughters. The navigating that space, of course, she's, you know, beautiful Bailangi woman, and for yourself, how do you navigate that space? Because it's very interesting to note that just after the post that you put up, you know, the postscript saying that, 2 days after this, you and your family were standing in the driveway, you know, someone drives past and yells out obscenities at you. Has that been a regular occurrence for both yourself and Kylie over the years? And how do you manage that space?
Lots of conversation. We just talk about it a lot. You know, we're talking about a lot. It happens. That was probably one of the more aggressive times. It's actually, we were just walking past. So if it was driving past, it'd be easy because the person would have driven past and gone. We were walking past. So, you know, it took us maybe 5 or 6 seconds to actually walk past that space. Half the time Kylie can't believe what she's just heard. So I've got to reinforce and say, yeah, they actually just said that. I guess navigating the space, it's harder for her than it is for me, because I've been treated that way. I know the way that people look at me. I know the way that people, well, I didn't know until I was told that it's different. For her, she's still shocked that people can still be this way. When I first met my wife, she told me she loves animals more than people. And I was like, oh, why? And she goes, because animals don't give you the attitude. You know, people sometimes can be so cruel and so mean, but animals will always love you. And I really appreciate that. But I was a little bit confused that, did she really love me? but part of that too is her really bringing this to the forefront. After that, so 3 days after that, my wife, my kids, my father-in-law, so Kylie's dad, we were walking, and he hadn't seen the video yet. He hadn't seen the video. But when we came back for dinner, he just went, oh, that was really weird. I saw somebody look at us and then look at you with a level of disgust. And he said he looked at it and he thought, I wonder if that person thought if you were with us or not. So even before he had seen the video, he'd mentioned it. And then I showed him the video and he just broke down and cried. And he gave me this huge hug and I could feel his pain or feel his level of love towards me. I don't know any different. You know, I don't know any different because I'm only seeing it through my eyes. You know, my wife sees different and other people see it differently. So that's the real reason why I posted the video, is to say, this is what I see through my eyes. And guess what? There's millions and millions of people out there and they've got their own story in their own eyes. My story is such a minute, such a subtle story. You know, I can't believe it's got this reach so far because it's such a little story. Not once have I been threatened with my life. Not once have I been, crucified because of the color of my skin. The worst thing that's happened to me is people have opened their mouth and said a few words, you know, and I'm not downplaying that, but I'm trying to, you know, also state that there are so many more people out there that have been affected by higher levels of prejudice. You know, skin color is just the one. Domestic violence is through the roof. And part of us for my role is to help men express their emotions, because if we don't, we bottle it in, then you put it in a body like this with fists like this, and people die around the world.
Minute by, you know, your own, you know, reckoning, but one that no doubt, you know, of course, has resonated. And of course, having those broad tongue and shoulders, I doubt too many people are going to say to your face, unless, of course, they are in a car. So now, Alan, you know, finally, you know, what do you want people, you know, that are maybe, you know, after this going to go and watch and say, you know, what do you want them to take away from it, from this post? And also, you know, final message around, you know, racism, prejudice, education. When you talk about educate, what's the first step?
Listen, because everybody has a story, you know. Don't jump to the forefront of, I'm just going to defend by attacking you. I'm going to defend myself by telling you exactly how I feel. How about let's listen to what you've got to say? You know, there's this campaign saying, you know, are you okay for mental health? The language needs to be around, it's okay. It's okay for you to speak. It's okay for you to have your opinion. It's okay for you to have your belief. And it's also okay for me to have my belief. So why do we have to be angry at each other when we can actually just talk, you know, talk through it? What I want to do with the stuff that I'm doing now, so it's been 3 weeks today since I put out the post. I've been absolutely inundated with speaking engagements, requests to do some talks at schools. And so my wife and I have really fast-tracked components of some of the stuff that we want to talk about. And this has not happened overnight. These are things that we've been developing for years. I've been developing them for years and years. And part of that is, one, prejudice. Two, leadership. What is true to leadership? The other part's a gender language and how we treat our women. And men, how do we be more emotional? You know, because if we're more emotional, as I said before, people don't die. You know, if we can express our emotions as men, people don't die. You know, so I guess the message around it for me is, hear somebody's story. Sit with them and talk with them. You know, and sometimes you can't do that via Messenger, via Facebook, via Twitter. Sometimes you just have to do that over the phone or face-to-face. Sit and hear people's story. And before you make any judgment, take the anger out. take a big breath, take the anger out, because there's a person on the other side. All I'm trying to get at is just see the person on the other side before you make your decision. And if I sat with somebody who was highly racist or highly prejudiced against me, but they listened to my story and I listened to their story, all respect to them. At least you've heard the other side. At least you've sat down, had a conversation, heard how the other people thinks and believes, and appreciate that that's okay. We can all still live in the same world.
That's good. And, of course, just quickly, where can people go to, you know, to view the post? Is it all right to share your personal Facebook page?
You know, what's happened over the years, people have said to me, you need to start a YouTube channel, you need to start a video vlog, you need to start your own Facebook fan page and all this sort of stuff. I guess what you talked about before about Dalanoa having conversation, if I'm going to have a conversation with you, I want you to see what I'm like. So it's my personal page, Alan Latu. There's a photo of a selfie of my wife and I walking down the aisle. I do have a website. I do have my surname is Latu. I have my own brand, LA2. And people ask me, what is it? I'm like, it's just my name. You know, you have your name. You are your own brand. You know, market your own brand before you market somebody else's brand. So really open up and do this. So, so out of that, feel free to jump on my page. There's so many, I laugh to myself because I think they're funny. My wife sort of rolls her eyes and says, you know, have it, you clean the house rather than make these videos. But if anybody wants to see me face-to-face, I'm in the KFC drive-thru.
Which could be any number of how many in Melbourne. Yeah.
I've been to all of them, so just keep working around, you'll find me somewhere.
Awesome. Well, it's a very big thank you, Malo. Alpito, Alan Latu, we greatly appreciate your time this morning, brother, and all the best to you, Kylie, and the children. Take care. O tu ofa tu Malo. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. It is 12 minutes to 9, 5:31 PI, Pacific people together.